Bibles to 2 Peter, and we'll read starting in verse 1 here tonight. And so this will be the message out of 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus tonight. We thank you for the reading of God's Word. We thank you for the singing. Lord, tonight we ask you now to fill us and anoint us with your Spirit, God, that we may preach, but we also may hear and obey and do as you ask us to do and be. Father, again, thank you for just loving us and being our Savior and our God here tonight. Well, we know that you're in charge. We know you're sovereign. We know, God, all things are in your hands. And we know, Lord, nothing happens without your permission. And God, with that being said tonight, Lord, we're in good hands, we know. Well, I pray, Lord, now that you open our eyes and hearts, lead us tonight to where we need to go and be in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to start a new series, a new thought tonight concerning this growing up in the faith. Growing up in the faith. And here's the thought of what I want to bring out in the next few weeks is, if you find there in this verse, verse 5, it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add. Add. And so there's some things that the Bible's teaching us that we need to add to your faith. And there's 7 of them. And I want to go through each one of them like we did the fruit of the Spirit, and so that we may understand how to live for God and how to grow in the Lord. And so the only way to grow in the Lord is by adding these 7 attributes. 7, they're not gifts, they're not works, but they are attributes tonight that must take on your zeal, must take on your desire. This is not going to save you, for you're already saved, but it will bring you to the place of growth. There's a lot of people tonight that are saved by faith, but they're still newborn babes in Christ. There's several people today that have moved forth a little bit, but they still are drinking out of the milk of the Word rather than the meat of the Word. It takes you to grow. It takes you to move forward in your Christian life. And so we're going to talk about that here in the next few weeks so that we can know how to grow, so that we know how to be more for God, how we can be more available for God, how we can be more apt to do the work of God. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm just not satisfied with the common. I'm not satisfied with the mundane, the everyday. I want to be more than that. And so in order for us to be more than that, spiritually speaking, we have to add. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Tonight I'm going to lay the foundation about what to add to. And so we'll begin. But anyway, that's what we're going to do the next, I don't know how long it's going to take. I may just do one word a night until we finish the 7. But the whole goal is, because there in verse 10, I like these words. It says, at the very end, it says, "For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Man, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to fall. I don't like falling. Falling hurts. Falling causes suffering. Falling brings bruises. Falling causes other people to be effective. I don't want to fall, do you? And so I find some proof here tonight where it says, ye shall never fall. And that's telling me tonight that if we keep these things, what things? Well, the seven things that we're going to bring forth to you, if we keep those things, there's a promise that you shall never fall. Not that you might fall, not that you could fall, not that you should fall, but you will never fall. So you're saying, Brother Larry, you're telling me tonight that if we would add these seven things to our life, God promises we won't fall. That's true. Yes. And so tonight, I'm interested in having a church that don't fall. I'm interested in a church that don't just stumble. I'm interested in a church tonight that just don't keep on going wrong or keep on going bad or keep on doing the wrong things or making the bad decisions and choices. And so tonight, we have an answer here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And so we're talking to Christians tonight. We're not talking to the lost. They can't build on anything. They have to have faith first. Amen? And so we'll see that in the way of the basics or the groundwork, the foundation tonight of what we're going to build on or what we're going to add to. So we got to have that in order. So I want you to notice here tonight the first thing that is the understanding of faith. Only way tonight that you're going to grow and you're going to grow up to be a man of God or a woman of God, and you're going to be at the place where God has a work to do, that He'll choose you. That God has something to do in His economy and His ministry, that you would be the one that He would choose. It would all come about with faith. And so we find we have to understand faith. And so what is faith? And Peter, a man, of course, who was an apostle, but more than an apostle here in verse 1, he was a servant. That word servant there means a bond slave. And he put that first. He said, Simon Peter, a servant. He wanted you to know that he was a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ before he was an apostle. And so that's the way the order are to go tonight. Whatever you are, being a servant tonight takes greater course. That's the way our hearts are to be tonight. Lord, I'm a husband, but I'm a servant before I was a husband. Lord, I'm a wife, but I'm a servant. I am a business owner. I am a teacher. I am a preacher. I am a mother. I am a father, but I'm a servant. And a servant is much greater than any of that. And so tonight, as we look at Peter, he says this to those, to them. He's talking to the church. He's talking to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. And so we find some words that are describing the faith that you can add to. Now, I'm not talking about a faith tonight that you can't add to, but I'm talking about the faith tonight that you can add to. And understanding that faith is a big part. Number one, I want you to notice that this faith is obtained. It is provided. And so tonight, if you have gained faith by your works or you've gained faith by your own raising or your own bring up or your own theology, then this is not, we're not talking about you tonight. We're talking about the faith that has been obtained. The faith that you don't have when you are born, but the faith you had when you were born again. The faith that comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. The faith that only you can obtain it. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But it's something tonight that you and I that are saved by the grace of God can say that I've obtained faith. I didn't have it, but now I do have it. I was at one time without faith, but tonight I am with faith. And so we find that this faith I'm speaking of that you can build upon is not man's faith. It's not something tonight that you can trade or something that you can sell for, but tonight it's completely a faith that's been obtained. And so that's important. It's been provided for. God has provided this faith to any of those who want to be saved. And so we got to know that tonight. It's not your faith. It's His faith that He has provided to you. And you just obtained it. All right? Number two, not only is this faith is provided, but it is a faith that is present. He says this, and this is interesting. He said, obtained a like. So Peter's saying, the day that I walked with Jesus and I got saved, that same faith that I obtained is the same faith that he wrote to the church there in the days of Peter, is that same like faith. But today in 2020, it's the same like faith. If the faith is not different in the day of Peter, in the day that he wrote the book of 1 and 2 Peter, it's not changed in 2020. It's the same faith. It's a faith that is present. It's the faith that's present in the days of Paul, in the days of Peter, in the days of Jesus, in the days of Joshua, in the days of Abraham, in the days of Noah. It's the same faith tonight as you have tonight. There's not several faith. There's one faith. It tells us that in Ephesians chapter 4. One faith. It is the like faith. And everybody who is saved, who can add to their faith and grow in the Lord, must have this like faith. All right, so we're not talking about different faiths. We're not talking about a faith that somebody in the Old Testament, somebody in the New Testament had, and today we've got a different faith. No, it's all one faith. So we got to know that, understanding faith tonight. And number two, or three, it's a faith that is precious. He said there in verse one, he said, obtain like precious faith. And so tonight, the preciousness of faith tonight. And when you have this faith that you obtain from the Lord, it will be the like faith of all and everyone. Tonight, what we have in common, what we have in one accord, in one mind, in one heart, is faith tonight. That's what we have. And so in that, it's precious. And it's precious tonight for several reasons. Number one, it's precious because of the provider of this faith. The Bible says in verse 1, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And so if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, then that faith that you have obtained will be a precious faith because it's him who provided it. You see, when you get born again, Jesus becomes precious. He don't just become a man in the Bible. He don't become just a Savior that's been told. He's just not someone tonight that is a prophet, a priest, and a king. He is the precious Savior in the soul of everyone who has the like or obtained like a precious faith tonight. And it's because he's the one who gave it. That's why there's special praise, or there's why there's glory and honor. And that's why when we come to church, we read about him from Genesis to Revelation. That's why when we sing songs, Jesus is all through it. He's threaded through all the scripture, all the songs, and the testimonies of anybody who's anything or anyone. Jesus is exalted and magnified. He's precious tonight. And so this faith is a precious faith because he provides it. But then the person of this faith, Jesus Christ, but he's God. Look in chapter 1 and there in verse 1, of course, he says, the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about one individual here tonight, God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, and look in verse 20. The Bible says, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus Christ? Lord and Savior. Who is he in chapter 1? He is God and our Savior. We see in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, that commandment of us, that the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He's the same. Look at verse 18 of chapter 3. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's very clear tonight that this faith that I'm speaking of, it is a obtained like precious faith because of who it provided it, but the person of it. The object of our faith, the subject of our faith is God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? And so tonight, if somebody tells you that Jesus is not God, they don't have the faith that we're speaking of tonight. Because in order for you to have the faith that you can grow, then you got to have the person who's of the faith. Amen? And so tonight, we got to make it very clear who Jesus is. And Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior. And that is the very basics of faith. If you can't get that far tonight, you don't have faith in Him. You got a faith maybe in your religion, a faith in your church, a faith in your pastor, a faith in your mind, a made-up Jesus, but He's not the Jesus of the Bible tonight, who is the Lord God and Savior tonight. So we see that this preciousness is because of who provided this faith, but the preciousness is because of the person of the faith, Jesus. And then the third thing I notice is that the provision of the faith. What does the faith provide? Well, the Bible says in verse 2, it provides, or verse 1, it provides the righteousness of God. So tonight, because of the faith that God provides through Christ, or Christ provides through Himself, tonight brings a righteousness. You know what the righteousness is to you and I? It's the right standing with God. The only way you and I tonight can be right standing with God is through faith. It's the obtain like precious faith. And then we can find righteousness. Because tonight in our self-righteousness or our own righteousness, we fall short of God. But in His righteousness tonight, we stand right with God. We stand justified with God. We stand as if we've never sinned before God in the blood of the Lamb. And so tonight it's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. So what does this faith that I'm speaking of tonight that we can add to? It is a faith and it's precious. But not only is it precious tonight, but it provides righteousness. So that when God looks at us, we're in right standing with Him. Amen? Not because of what we did, because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Number two, it provides grace. The Bible says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so this faith will provide a grace. This grace is giving what you don't deserve. That's what grace is tonight. It's giving to you what you don't deserve. You don't deserve heaven. You don't deserve love. You don't deserve forgiveness. You don't deserve the peace of God. You don't deserve the patience of God. You don't deserve anything from God. But at this faith that we're speaking of tonight that we can add to, it's a faith that has brought righteousness, but it's a faith that brought grace. It's brought a benefit on our lives. It's brought a gratitude to our lives. It's brought a favor of God. That's the faith I'm talking about tonight. And then thirdly, it brought peace. That's what it provided. Peace. You got the peace of God tonight. You got the peace with God. When you got saved through faith, you got peace of God. And as you get saved and live the Christian life, you'll find you'll have peace with God. Tonight, faith is provided all that to us. And that's why it's precious tonight. It's a person. It's a provision. It's the one who provides. Fourthly, tonight I notice a faith that is powerful. Look in verse 3. According as His divine power, He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Tonight, I like this verse. And the reason I like this verse tonight, because when you really get truly saved, you'll find that you'll have righteousness and you'll have peace and you'll have grace. And with all that, the Bible says that He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. When you get saved by this faith tonight, nothing is needed or added. Tonight, you can live for God just on faith. So we can't say tonight, and it's a false statement to say you can't live the Christian life. It's a slap in the face of God tonight if you say, I just can't live for God. Because the Bible tells us in verse 3 clearly and plainly and with great understanding tonight that according to His divine power He hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. life and godliness. And so tonight, I can tell you that his faith is so powerful, that his divine faith is so real, that it will bring to you everything that you need in life, in human life. The Bible says right there, pertain unto life, talking about human life. What do you need in human life? Faith will bring it to you. Faith will deliver it. Faith will have it all provided for. You don't need anything else tonight but faith to live this life, this human life, this life that you and I hunger and you and I suffer and you and I hurt and you and I cry and you and I get angry, you and I get frustrated, you and I have to work, we get weary, we get tired, we get sick, we get diseased. But tonight, can I tell you tonight that the faith that I'm talking about adding to is a faith tonight that's so powerful that you can live this life with just faith. If God gives you nothing more tonight, He gives you enough to live life in the human life. Amen? Ain't that a blessing tonight? Number two, He's given us enough. He's given us enough to live the Christian life. Not only the human life, but the Christian life. He said, and godliness. Godliness. The word godliness tonight means holiness. Now here again tonight, there's a lot of so-called Christians tonight who say they just can't do right. And so tonight, that brings to me a question. Either God's word in verse 3 is just false, or whoever says that they just can't live right is false. If God said, I have given you everything, all things that pertain to life and godliness, and you say you can't live a holy life, then you're saying God's a liar. You're saying the Word of God's untrue. You're saying that He didn't give you all things that pertain to godliness. Something is wrong with your thought process here, or something's wrong with your faith. Amen? The faith that I'm speaking of tonight is a faith that's called a divine power that will give you every single thing that you need to live holy. The word godliness means holiness. It means devout. It means reverent. That's what it means tonight. So in order for us to live a reverent life, you need this faith. God said, if you have this faith, I give you the divine power for all things to live a godly life. You won't lack anything. It's already provided for you. And so tonight we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, turn there with me, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in? And look what he says, all holy conversation and godliness. Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So he's talking about the last day. He's talking about the times when the earth's going to be burned up with fervent heat. What's our conversation? He said, holy. How are we to live in the last days? Oh, he said to live without spot, and without blemish, and he said to live in peace. What's he saying tonight? He's saying, I have given you everything in faith that pertains to godliness. And the only reason why you don't live for godliness, or why the reason why you don't live holy, and the reason why you're not devout, and the reason why you're not reverent, because you don't want to be. It's not because you can't. It's because you don't want to. It kind of puts a different perspective on the Christian walk. And so tonight we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, just kind of want to hone in on this thought of the godliness, which means holiness tonight. There's such good scripture that describes that all over the scripture. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. So He don't call us to do wrong, to be wrong, to act wrong, but He calls us to be holy. That's what He calls us to. How can He call us to be holy if He hasn't provided through the power, divine power of faith, to pertain all things in godliness. So he can't tell us to do something if he hasn't provided that something. God's not going to tell you to do something and you don't have the will to do it or you don't have the way to do it. No. No, God has provided it, and you and I tonight have decided that we're not going to live that way. But he says, I've called you to live that way. Then look at this verse here. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. You see, we talk about revival a whole lot, but revival will come when we finally realize that we have to live a righteous life. That's when revival will hit this our city, our town, our heart, our lives, our homes, is when you decide that I have to live holy. When godliness is upon me. It's not something I can have a solution for. It's not something that's a multiple choice. It's not something I can or cannot do. I must do. That's when revival will come. We find tonight that in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, it says, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Quickly here tonight, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so the Bible's teaching very clearly tonight that if we are going to be where God has us to be concerning this faith, it's going to have to be in godliness. He has given us all things that pertain unto human life and Christian life. All right? That's the faith I'm talking about tonight. Number two, not understanding in faith, but I want you to notice knowing in faith. Not understanding of faith, but knowing in faith. Back into our text at 2 Peter chapter 2, I want you to notice the word knowledge. Verse 2 says of chapter 1, knowledge of through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, through the knowledge of Him. In verse 8, it says, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 and verse 20 says, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 18, it says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see tonight that there's something about in 2 Peter that if we're going to grow, it's going to have to come through knowledge. Knowledge. John chapter 17 and verse 3, I'll read this to you tonight. It says very clearly and very plainly that this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You can't get no clearer picture that Jesus is God except this verse right here. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. So tonight, the only way that you and I are going to grow and we're going to see God do a work in our lives and we're going to be fruitful and God will bless as He promised that He would, it's going to have to come through knowledge. Knowledge. You say, I don't like to read. You'll always be a babe. No, I don't like listening to preaching. I like listening to singing. I don't like listening to teaching. I like listening to singing. You'll never grow. I don't really like coming to church, you know. I mean, one time a week's okay, you know, maybe two. It kind of depends how I feel, whatever. You'll never grow. You'll never grow. You see, tonight, according to the Scripture, our text is the sole authority of conduct and behavior, right? And so we find tonight knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. We got to know Jesus as our Lord. We got to know. It's what it says there in this chapter, chapter 1. It says, the knowledge of Him, verse 2, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We got to know Jesus as Lord. We got to know Him as Savior. We got to know Him as God. And the only way that we get to know Him is by getting knowledge. And the only way that we can get knowledge is three ways. Either you read, you hear, or you study. I don't know how else you're going to get it. It's either through your eyes, through your ears, which creates a study. Knowledge, 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 knowledge. When you come to the house of God, and every time I preach and every time preachers preach and we're taking the Word of God, you're gaining knowledge. You might not think you are. When you read your Bible, if it's just one verse a day, if it's just one chapter a day, if it's just a few verses, you don't know all that God's doing with knowledge. 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 And friend, there's so many people tonight are still babes in Christ. So many people tonight are still young in the Lord. They're old in age. They've been in church a long time. There's some of them are deacons. Some of them might even be preachers. Some of them might be song leaders. Some might even be Sunday school teachers. There's some who might be in a church just being in the church for a long time, and they're not growing. Why aren't they growing tonight? Because of knowledge. Knowledge. When they come to the house of God, they're dull of hearing. They're not listening. When they read their Bible, they don't read it, or they read it with other thoughts of other places doing other things. They never even thought about studying the Bible. I mean, taking line upon line, precept upon precept, get Strong's Concordance, get a book from the pastor's library and say, hey, I'd like to study on prayer. And so he gives you a book on prayer and you start going with that book and you start finding out Scripture. See, what we're talking about tonight is growing. But in order to grow, you've got to have knowledge. According to Scripture here. So we got to have knowledge. The word knowledge means to become fully acquainted. So if we're going to be fully acquainted with Jesus our Lord's the controller, He is the chief, and He's the ruler. And we got to be fully acquainted with Him. And only for us tonight to take this faith that He has given us and that we're saved by, and now we're going to do something with that faith is going to have to come through knowledge. And so that means we've got to be well acquainted with Him being our leader. Well acquainted with Him being chief. Well acquainted with Him being sustainer. And He's the one who's controller. See, tonight, that's how we get to the place where God said, okay, you can add now. But until then, without this knowledge tonight, you're sort of in a limbo. God really can't use you. God really can't do something with you. God really can't do more than what He's doing now, because you're in a mindset that you're not really wanting to learn. You're not really wanting to have knowledge. You're not really wanting to know, be well acquainted with Jesus as your Lord and as one who's in charge of your life. The one who's going to tell you what to do. The one that when you read the Scripture, you obey it because He's the one who said to obey. So this is knowledge. Number two, knowledge is also to have full discernment of Jesus as Savior. In other words, to be discerning about Jesus as the one who loved you, the one who died for you, the one who shed His blood for you, the one who forgave you, the one who preserved you. You got to be fully discerned with that. In other words, I'm engaged with it. It sort of like eats me up. I mean, it's sort of like I can't ever get over it. It's like He is Savior, and I just want to know more about how He loved me and how He died for me and how He resurrected and how He ascended and how He sits on the right hand of the Father tonight making intercession for me. Oh, what a Savior tonight. Knowledge. Then you got to have knowledge tonight, which means to have a complete acknowledgement of Jesus as God, as the one who's King, the one who's Creator, the one who's Redeemer. No, 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 and no more. That's why it's a shame tonight when our church on Wednesday night is almost empty. That's why it's a shame on Sunday evening when those who don't come back who are Sunday morning. That's why it's a shame tonight that many people who call themselves Christians, call themselves believers, call themselves, they love Jesus. And every time the doors of the church is open, they're not there to have knowledge. To get to know. Skip Sunday school. That's not a big time either. So knowledge. All I'm saying tonight, if we are ever going to be able to add to our faith, we're going to have to go through the process of understanding of faith and then taking that faith and having knowing in the faith. Knowing through knowledge. Number three, growing in the faith. In verse 3, the Bible says that He has called us to glory and virtue. So tonight, when you grow in the faith, Now, this shouldn't be optional for Christians to grow, right? I mean, that ought to be normal. As you think about someone has a baby, you don't have to tell that baby, would you please grow? I mean, you don't have to kind of coach the baby when the baby's like 3 or 4 months old and say, come on now, get your fingers a little bigger. Come on. No, the baby's going to grow, right? I mean, it's just how nature is. So we come to a thought here tonight with this verse 3 and verse 4. And so we find it is a glorious thing to grow. That's what it says, called us to glory. It's not a dishonor tonight to grow. The more knowledge you get and the more faith that you get grows, it's glorious. It's praiseworthy. It's honorable. Tonight God loves children growing. Right? I mean, He wants every one of us to grow, to abound, to become more. I mean, listen, God is wanting His children not to just stay the same. He doesn't want His children to be dwarfs. He wants His children to be blossom, right? He wants them to grow. It's a glorious thing to grow. It's something else. It's a virtuous thing to grow. The word virtue there in that verse 3, it means the excellency. The excellency of the goal. Can you agree with me tonight that every child and every person, they don't get to the age of 6 years old and say, you know what, I don't think I want to grow anymore. I don't think I want to be a mom. I don't want to be a dad. I don't want to be nothing. I just want to go in my closet and live my life for the rest of my life in there. I don't see that, do y'all? I see children as they grow in, they're looking at the possibilities of becoming a policeman or possibilities of becoming a president or possibilities of working with their dad or becoming a mom, a dad, becoming something, doing this, doing that, all this. And so there's an excellency, a goal of excellency. I don't see children who go out and they do what they do and they have on their mind, I'm just going to do this halfway. No. It's they do it all that they can. Right? You see kids play. I mean, they just do it all that they can until somebody tells them, hey, calm down. Take it easy. Relax a little bit. How many times does parents have to tell kids, chill? Right? So that's how, because it's just by nature that they're going to just go 100%. And so tonight, that's what this word virtue would mean. And we're going to talk more about it later, but that's what it would mean. And then can I say here, thirdly, not as a glorious thing and a victorious, virtuous thing, but it's a precious thing. Verse 1, He said it was a precious faith. In verse 4, He talks about precious promises. In chapter 1 of Peter, in verse 7, talks about the precious trial of your faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, talks about the precious blood. 1 Peter 2, 6, talks about the precious stone. 1 Peter 2, 7, talks about the precious Savior. So there's something about Peter. You know how Peter was. He's always talking when he shouldn't talk. He's always wanting to pull out the sword and cut the head of Malchus off, and he only gets his ear, and Jesus puts it back. So he's always one kind of out of place. He's hasty. He's kind of rough and tough and a macho man, you know, Peter was. But he sure is using precious a whole lot here in this First Peter and Second Peter. Wonder why? Oh, because see, Peter now understands the preciousness of faith. God's word. The word promises there talks about his word, about Jesus, his blood as Savior, the stone. It's a precious thing. And the reason why it's a precious thing is because of its nature. Look there in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's the word of God. It's great and it's precious. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So now we're talking about a different nature. So when you have faith that's been obtained to you or given to you, and you receive it as the gift of God, then you take on a divine nature. And so we find here's the divine nature. In this divine nature, we find that it's a precious thing because nature craves. Is that true? For example, nature craves food. For example, pigs, what do they like? Slop, right? You give pigs something besides slop, he'd probably just look at it and, what's that? Slop. You take a nature of a horse, hay, right? Nature of a cow, grass. It's just nature. You don't have to go teach a cow eat grass. You don't have to go to a horse school and say, okay, horse, we're going to eat alfalfa hay. No, they just naturally, by nature, crave this food. Christians, by nature, will crave God's word. Natural. Nature. Does that make sense? What I'm talking about tonight, this faith. I'll tell you something else. Nature's conduct. Everything in nature has a certain conduct. For example, a bird. What does it do? Flies. Why does a bird fly? Nature. A fish. What does it do? Swims. Why does a fish swim? Nature. Dogs walk. Why? That's nature. Christians, Christ-like. That's their walk. That's nature. So when you take on this divine nature with this faith that we can add to, it's going to be precious because of the nature of it, that there's a craving, the Word of God, and then there is a conduct, Christ-likeness. And it becomes natural. Does this make sense tonight? You're never going to see a fish fly like a bird, right? Never going to see that because that's not his nature. There's another third thing I want you to notice is the companions. Nature's companions. For example, sheep are in flocks, right? You find that fish are in school. Is that true? You'll find dogs are in packs. You'll find that cattle are in herds. But where do you find Christians? In church. Make sense? Nature. That's why it's precious. It's just nature. One more. There's nature's circumstances. For example, the fish thrive in water. You take fish out of the water, not good. You take squirrels, where are they like going? Trees. Right? That's their habitat. That's their environment, man. That's their circumstances. Lions and jungles. So they don't like deserts. Jungles. Eagles and the air. Circumstances. Environment. Christians, godliness. That's circumstances. Nature. And the Bible says in verse 4, and I know you've probably asked this question a million times, and here's the answer. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Brother Larry, how do I escape this world's lust? We just gave you the answer. By faith. By faith. Understanding faith. Knowing faith. Growing in faith. If you're not growing in faith and your nature is not to do as we speak, then the corruption of the world will take you down. Either you're growing or you're going. And tonight, we must take our faith and we must begin to add. Verse 5. Besides this, giving all diligence, add. And if we will, and verse 10 says, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And church, that's where I want to be. That's where I want you to be. That's where I want us to be. I hope you understand it tonight. Sometimes it gets muddy and sometimes it gets difficult. But what you have to add to your faith is virtue. You have to add to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. And if you do all that, you'll find yourself in a place of growth, moving on with God, and you won't fall. You can't go forward and go backward at the same time. Is that right? You can't go upward and go downward at the same time. And tonight, that's the Christian life that we're talking about that God will be pleased with on all of us tonight. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, I do appreciate it. And maybe if there's any questions tonight, you can ask. We thank the Lord for you. Okay, any prayer requests tonight? Yes, sister. Mary Bell? You said Mary Bell? Okay. Okay. Wow.